Go. Welcome to Drum and Bass HQ with your host, Jay Swift.
Welcome to Drum and Bass HQ. We're not actually in Drum and Bass HQ today. We're actually at Pyro with someone who I've known for a very long time, Richard Clegg, aka Filthy Dirty Rich. How you doing, mate?
I'm good, thanks. Good to see ya. Good to hear ya.
You too, mate, and it's nice to be here. So I wanted to start with a bit of your kind of background in drum and bass, because a lot of people haven't heard from you for a while, but there's big things on the horizon. But I just wanted to get a little bit of a background of how it all kind of started for you. So do you remember your kind of introduction to raves initially when you started going out?
It's a long time ago, essentially around my area when I was a young lad. I was really influenced by the older group from the area. And there's a couple of DJs in that scene, sort of DJ Almighty, you know, who's at that time a mentor to me.
Yeah.
And they really influenced me to get into, you know, the dance music, DJing. And I remember watching them, you know, performing. I thought, this is what I want to do. And it just excited me, attracted to me.
Yeah.
So I started getting involved at home, bought the decks, got into the sound labs. I don't know if I'm going too far back here.
Is this fine? Reminds me of, like, it's a lot of people have got that kind of background where there's someone that they heard or someone that they knew or a friend of a friend of a friend that had a set of sound labs in their bedroom.
Yeah.
Everyone used to go around there. And for people like me, it would be like, everyone's on the decks, you can have the mic, and you end up being an MC. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but,
So for you, when you started buying records and stuff, who did you used to go to? Were you frequenting all the usual kind of shops?
I remember the first ever record I bought, it was at Soundbox. Yeah. It was a record shop down in sort of Maida Vale, Paddington, Edgware Road. Used to go down there. I think the first ever record actually bought on vinyl was a Labello Blanco track, but I can't remember the name of it. But
it wasn't like Go Down Baby or
something like that. I remember purchasing my first, you know, vinyl, and I had a record player. I didn't have decks back then. I was so excited about vinyl and the movement and just being involved. I just wanted to buy records and just play them individually, you know. So I was really, really excited about it back then.
Yeah, yeah. So for me, back then, in, you know, early to mid 90s, my favorite was like Moving Shadow. My label is like my kind of legendary. What was your kind of favorite labels at the time?
Oh yeah, definitely like Moving Shadow. It's really difficult to remember off the top of my head.
I remember like Tearing Vinyl and Rugged Vinyl.
Yeah.
And
yes, Slamming Vinyl.
Yes.
What was the other one? Danny Donnelly's Suburban Bass.
Yeah.
Stuff like, oh yeah, you still love those labels.
Reinforced and Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Good prompt there, just to remember.
Yep, no worries. So when did the actual Filthy Dirty Rich kind of emerge? What kind of year was that?
When I was 17, I came to CM, where Pyro based now, started doing music training.
Oh yeah.
And I remember that's where I sort of met Navigator.
Yeah.
And was chatting away, you know, and pulled some money out. He's going, oh, you're Filthy Rich, you know.
Yeah,
thought,
yeah,
you know what?
Yeah.
That's a good name, you know.
Yeah,
so
man,
just put the Filthy Dirty Rich into it and just sort of span off from there, really.
Yeah, man. Big up Navigator. He's one of our previous guests as well, and it was an amazing interview, man, the stuff that he's done, which I know you've also done some stuff with Asian Dub Foundation, didn't you?
Yeah, because I think, you know, a lot of people don't realise, before I actually got into sort of, as I say, the actual jungle scene, I mean, I was already out touring the world. You know, I was playing in front of like 20, 30,000. I was supporting Asian Dub Foundation. And back then, you know, they were... Mercury nominated, signed to Virgin, signed to EMI, you know, touring with some Beastie Boys, just some phenomenal bands. And I was touring around the world with them, doing a lot of stuff. But jungle, it was just the sound of jungle, the hardcore, that's what, you know, that was part of me.
Yeah, yeah.
And it excited me back from then, my creativity, everything around that. I just remember, you know, always wanting to get on Cool FM, and I remember, you know, I remember the day Eastman phoned me and said, yeah, you've got a set on Cool FM.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember I was in Old Street, you know, I was running down the road just like, yes!
Yeah. I know, it must be like amazing.
Yeah.
I'm going to mention something because I wanted to talk to you about Cool FM and your radio and stuff. But you talked about community music as well, and you were one of the first people, I think you were the first to get a qualification, if you refresh my memory.
Yeah, it was a MVQ level 4 music performance and business.
Yeah.
So essentially it was a new qualification that's put together for people that, you know, they weren't thinking about going the academic route, but they needed something that was more real world that would apply, you know, going into the business.
Yeah.
So essentially this qualification was put together. I remember in the first year, there was quite a lot of people that started doing the qualification, organisations and universities around the country, orchestral, from all different types of music. And yeah, I managed to be the first one to do it. There was a big sort of PR thing around it. I was in the Evening Standard, all the media, LBC and all this stuff. But yeah, I mean, I think I was like 17, 18 back then. It was great. Another great experience.
Yeah. Was that around the time the idea for Pyromaniacs or Pyrotechnic Radio, as it was then, first came to...
Yeah, I think sort of Pyromaniacs came a little bit later. Yeah. It's just like going back, you know, Jay, you think about it now. It's like when we started out, it was like you had tapes. We was mixing on tapes and decks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then... You put on the pirate station on the FM, you know, trying to use your coat hanger to get the best sound.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the frustration when you couldn't and trying to move around the room.
Especially if you're living in South London, trying to get cool FM. Yeah. Everyone's meeting up and going on top of a roof to listen to the radio.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, back then, you were swapping tapes with your mates, or you're going around your mates and listening to tapes while you're playing, you know, whatever, I can't even think, the console back then. It was like going back, you know, which one it was. But, you know, and everyone's just mixing or whatever, and that's how you shared your music, you know? Yeah. But as time's gone on, I think, Pyro came along a bit around, sort of around the time of 56K modems, you know? I don't know if even anyone's listening even knew what a 56K...
Yeah, yeah.
Essentially, it's like the Wi-Fi of its time, and it was connected to your phone line, and if someone was on the internet, you couldn't actually phone them because it would go through their main phone line, so it was always engaged. I just remember those frustrations, phoning people, and it was engaged because you couldn't get through.
They're on the internet.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, amazing. But what other kind of stuff was it like? Because today, you can be in your bedroom, you can set up a radio station quite easily. But back then, it was quite hard. What kind of stuff did it take then? Because I remember people having big encoders and servers and stuff. Was it really technical?
Yeah, there's a lot of the technical side. I mean, you know, I'm not going to pretend that I'm the massive technical guy. But if you speak to anyone, you know, anyone that's out there doing business or entrepreneurial, you know, it's about having a team around you that have the capabilities, and it's all about measuring your own strengths and weaknesses, right? So we had a tech team around. You know, we had good people around that believed in the idea and wanted it to happen. And I think, you know, our ideas back then, kind of, you can see how the internet is now. It's you know, always envisaged how it would be, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, really, that was from the times when Pyro started. Just knew that there was a global audience, and, you know, you could reach people. And it was amazing. You know, you'd just be talking to people, you know, listening. You know, we were going on tours. I was going to America, LA, you know, to Germany, to France, to wherever.
And going to France and having kegs of beer behind the desk, you know, and Rich and Jay are having a good old time.
as you know, we had some good times, you know, so.
Definitely. Now, I just had a little look down at these notes because actually I was having a look back at the archives.
Sure.
And kind of trying to remember who I'd seen up at the studio kind of back in the day.
Mm.
And I just noted down some names like Andy C, Ed Rush, Riddler, Chase and Status, D-Bridge, MC Verse, L Hornet, Skibbity, Fun, Rusta, Brocky, Man P Swift, IC3, Jay Swift. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was crazy. Yeah. That's what the buzz was about, because no one had ever had a radio station on the internet that could draw names like that.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, it was good times, you know, good energy, you know, and just loved it. You know, it was pure passion that was running on, you know. And drum and bass was one part. We had, you know, amazing people from all over the UK culture and sort of US or global culture that came and done shows on the station.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing, to be honest.
I know. I was going to say, actually, you used to do the drum and bass, but other things. I remember being at, not this studio, another one that you were in, and someone rung the doorbell, and I opened the door, and it was Kano and Getz.
Yeah.
And I always remember them going, all right, mate, is Rich there? And I thought, wow, that's bad. So yeah, it was, for you, was there one person that you yourself couldn't believe? Or
I think, I mean, because I was such a massive drummer bass fan, you know, I think there's there's loads. I mean, I could just go on for ages. All the people that you mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, we had Hype come down one time as well,
yeah,
which is amazing. You know, Pendulum, I saw them not recently, and they always say, do you know what? When we came to UK, you were the first station we played on. It's really hard to say that there's one situation. You know, Goldie used to come down and do shows.
Yeah.
It's, you know, Swift. You know, there's times where in the old studio, you know, someone would be doing a show. I just remember sitting around, there'd be like Brocky, Skibbity, you know, Riddler, Rough Stuff, loads of people. We'd be playing like poker. And yeah, just like everyone's just chilling out and just doing, yeah, crazy, just it's just good vibes, you know, really good vibes.
Yeah, definitely. Now, Pyro.
Sure.
I hear.
Yes.
You're making a big return.
That's right.
When's it going to be returning?
Well, Antonio here. He's here with me.
Right, Antonio.
As you can see, the studio, we're kind of ready to go.
Yeah.
We just want to test a couple more bits. But yeah, it's been, behind the scenes, it's been a positive response.
Wicked, wicked.
Yeah.
And your studio is looking lovely, by the way. It's amazing. I am well jealous.
Well, it's not just down to me. I've got to thank Antonio and also Lee at CM as well, and Community Music.
Yeah.
You know, we've struck up this partnership. Yeah, and, you know, Pyro's come back and, you know, things have moved on in the whole musical world and the technology world. So for us, it's about coming back and not just being on trend, but again, you know, being unique and doing special stuff like we used to do,
yeah,
and one step ahead. So when we do launch, you'll be seeing some interesting content, some, yeah, interesting ideas, and that's what we're about. And we've always been about representing, you know, new good music from whatever genre.
Yeah.
And also, you know, there's an untold story as well with Pyro that a lot of people don't know, because on the back end of Pyro there were so many people involved that people will never sort of really know. You know, we've had, yeah, people from here, they've gone on to be breakfast producers on Radio 1, their own producers on BBC 6, Kiss FM, CNN News, you know, yeah, Al Jazeera, it goes on and on, you know. So there's that side as well, where,
yeah,
you know, we're here for, you know, we want to support people across the creative industries. That's what we're here to,
yeah,
do.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, I know I mentioned it before a while ago when we spoke, but one of my previous guests was Nicky De Silva.
Yes.
And Nicky De Silva came to Community Music.
That's right.
And
that's, he, right,
as Pyramid became really big, and, yes, he's gone back into his drum and bass. He graduated here, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Nicky's another fantastic story. You know, he's in the moment, he's working with Sigma, he's out,
yeah,
there, and he's,
yeah,
sort,
yeah,
he's out there, he's got his new label, Reach, which is, yeah, doing fantastic, and he's doing so many positive things. You know, it's again, you know, it's so many people, Jay, that were, you know, the names that you mentioned, but there's names that have come through that have just sort of blown up now. You know, for instance, you know, Sigma used to be on here.
Yeah.
They used to be under Drunken All Stars, I think. Then Ollie.
Oh, was that them?
Yeah.
I did not,
yeah,
know that.
Yeah. Ollie, yeah. Ollie from here as well. Ollywood Records, he was on here. But, yeah, then he's gone on. He owned Black Butter Records, managed,
oh, yeah,
Rudimental.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's gone on and sold it to Sony. Also, Tom Barnes, you know, he's part of CM as well, as a graduate.
Yeah.
But now, you know, he's, him with TMS Productions, you know, they've had like five top number ones in this country albums. They're working with One Direction, Leona Lewis, pretty much Simon Cowell's,
yeah,
preferred sort of production partners now. That's right, isn't it, Antonio? You know, but they started out in dance music, involved, you know, with CM, with Pyro, you,
yeah,
know, there's so many stories, and that, yeah, was another reason that we needed to bring this back, because, you know, it's not just about, oh yeah, we're bringing the best names now. We're bringing the best names that are going to be big in the next five,
yeah,
10 years. And that's what we want to do. We want to be, you know, supporting people, you know, from, like I said, from all the creative industries. That's,
yeah,
that's what we're about.
Definitely. You know? Now, for, you mentioned about keeping with the times and everything.
Sure.
So when you come back, what can people expect? Will it all be an online, or will it be an application, or stuff that people can do on their phones with more video, or will it be more audio?
I think, yeah, I think what we're about, you know, as you look in the marketplace now, you know, there's loads of radio stations,
yeah,
you know, and that's brilliant. Everyone's out there doing their stuff. You know, for us, it's about building that community of performers, artists, creative people, and just coming up with really cool content and delivered in cool ways, you know, through your mobile, you know, through new technologies, coding. So, yeah, it's a mixture of what's going on now, but, you know, with touches of what you can expect to see from everyone in the future, but we were,
yeah,
going to do it now, if that,
yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A bit,
yeah,
like what Pyro was back in the day, you know?
Yeah.
You know, the other day I went for dinner with a group of people I hadn't seen for about 5 years, and they just sat there and goes, you know, yeah, Pyro, you know, back in the day, you know, that you just saw how the internet was going to be. And I think that's, for us, you know, Antonio agree, that's what we want to do again.
Yeah.
So we're standing here now at this point, we'll have this conversation again in 5 years, and you'd be like, do you know what? It's like, you're doing back then what's happening now, you know? Yeah. So that's the vision, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I did want to get onto something else.
Sure.
About something that I very much enjoyed.
Yeah.
I used to go to somewhere every Sunday.
Yes.
It was in the West End of London, in a place called Propaganda.
Yeah.
And it was Pyromaniacs.
That's right.
A lot of people remember it's a legendary night.
Mm.
Obviously, it's not going to be back there because I think that is Stringfellows now or something.
Yeah, that's a Stringfellow near Wardour Street. Yeah.
Is there going to be a return of Pyromaniacs?
Yeah, there will be. There will be a return. And again, it's not going to be how people think it's going to be. It's going to be something unique. And it's difficult for me to, you know, say it on, you know, in sort of us having a conversation.
Yeah.
I think once we do the launch party, I think people will understand what we're trying to do. So I think I don't want to sound like, oh yeah, watch this space type, you know, cliche type thing, but yeah, we're going to look at doing something a little bit different than what's going on at the moment. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And I wish you guys all the best, man. And once again, Rich, thanks, man.
Thank you very much.
No
Thank
worries.
You. Thank you.
Before we go, but one more thing.
That's all right. That's all right.
One more thing, because obviously you mentioned before, and I've been traveled around with you, DJing places, I've MC'd for you a couple of times, and it's always been good.
Sure.
And will there be a return of Filthy Dirty Rich?
I'm not going to say yeah, as in I'm going to go out there and become this DJ, but you know, with the station up and running, yeah, let's get some music. I know the vibe's in me, you know, you want to play new music and cool music. That's so why not.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to look out for that on the schedule when it comes out, man.
I'll let you know. I'll send you an email. You'll be on my mailing list.
All right, nice one.
Thanks,
Antonio. Nice one, Rich.
Thank you very much.
Nice one.
Cheers.
And once again, thanks to Rich and also Antonio, all of the Pyro crew. Remember, pyroradio.com will be returning on Wednesday the 27th of April, and they will be kicking off with a very, very special show from the one and only Dynamite MC, followed by Rodney P and many, many more. Big up once again, pyroradio.com.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out drumandbasshq.com.